Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little view, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Saturday afternoon or Saturday morning or wherever you are listening to this show. I want to thank you for listening in. And with me today, as always, the ATM. I'm going to punch in them digits, and it's time to make some money. What's up, Taylor? What's going on?
Nothing much, my man. Hunkering down. The East Coast is supposed to get hit with a nice hurricane or tropical storm or whatever you want to call it. But it's not supposed to be pretty, and hopefully the next few days it won't be as bad as people think it is, or predicting it's going to be. So, and plus the fact is, I have to ask you a question real quick.
Sure.
We've been doing this show for how long?
Yes, 3-4 years.
Okay. My question is this, and it's no knock. I'm just asking the theme song, the fantasy sports and politics.
Mm-hmm.
I think I never asked this question of you before. Who did you get to do it, and who thought up the song or the intro?
Well, I have one of my guys, the former troop of mine, and he actually does that type of stuff.
Okay.
In his spare time, his name is David Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote it, made it. That, the one we're using isn't mastered. It isn't mixed down. He has a mixed down version of it, but it's just, you know, same thing. It sounds crisper.
Mm-hmm.
Never got it from him, but he thought about it. He wrote it, and I like it. Do you want to change it?
No. I like it. I just was asking because I had never posed that question, and as it was playing, I'm saying, who did this? And how do you think of the concept? Because it's if you listen to the lyrics, or if you listen to the words of it, they flow pretty well from start to finish. That's why I was just curious. Just tweaked my old brain at the time, that's all.
I know, old timers kicking in. Yeah, but David's my homie. He's one of my former soldiers, and... I think I told you this. He engineered Nelly's. I think it was EI or it was Hot in Here. It's one of them that he was the engineer.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, so he's very talented. Then is that what you're telling me?
Oh yeah. This dude is better than half the folks in my career field, and he's not even in my career field. I mean,
really?
Yes, I would take this guy anywhere, anytime, for anything. That means work, hanging out, or if we're in a conflict, I'd take him anywhere. You know?
Really? What is he doing now? Is he following this, or is he doing something else?
Oh no, he's with the. Armed Forces Entertainment. Right.
Oh, he's still in the military or the civilian side now?
He's in the military.
Okay.
Yeah. So. But he's there now, but that's not what his career field is. But
mm-hmm.
something that he wanted to do, and I encourage him to do it because, you know, he has so much talent. He's not a one-trick pony. He can do anything.
Okay.
But that's where the thing came from. I mean, if your boy can come up with something for free, of course, I take that because I like the cruise intro as well. So.
Well, you know, I've, and we could talk more off air, but I've tried to contact the person that originally did mine, because he happened to be a pretty close friend of my son's. But this guy is extremely hard to get in touch with, because I wanted him to change it about a year ago. I was thinking about the song theme about a year ago to change it, and I have been unable, and along with my son, to get in touch with this guy. So I mean, I've
it's about the money. We gotta pay him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you gotta find out if it's reasonable.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there. We'll get in touch with a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. Let's get on to the show.
No problem. Go ahead.
It's Saturday, and there's a lot going on in the sports world. We got college football, the NBA's back. Then we got news about the NBA. Folks didn't know already. Probably hiding under a rock, sports worldwide. We're talking about the World Series. I know I can't get the goat of Mac, but it's okay. I'm not trying to get the goat. I'm talking about the Tigers, because I actually picked the Tigers to win the World Series. We're talking about NFL, of course, and fantasy. I want to bring up one issue about fantasy first. To my homie, my ace, you know, he up there talking trash now that he's tied, a four-way tie for first.
Yep.
In the Parlay Palace.
Yep.
Now, I had a problem with him talking trash to you, but when he brought me in, oh, Ricky. Why? So
yep.
Serious.
Yep.
Because you know what's going to happen, homie. I'm going to just have to put you down.
Yeah, you
like a dog.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I totally agree with you, Vic. You know, that's why I made my first statement when I played him about 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, the first time. Didn't hear a peep, nothing. I didn't say anything because I haven't been saying anything all season, but didn't hear a peep from him. But as soon as the last game was played, on the last day, which was Monday night, he comes out and talks about whooping my ass. Okay. I made a statement. Where were you at before we played? You waited until after the game, and then you want to talk smack. I mean, come on, man. Come on, man.
I would call him up. I don't know if he's at work right now.
Yeah, I said, come on, man. I mean, you know, you want to talk smack, fine. But don't come after the fact and you're talking smack because you whooped that ass. Fine, you whooped that ass. You really kicked my butt by like 80 and whatever it was. It doesn't make a difference if it's 80 or 90 points or a point. I still lost. Quite naturally, there's no more emphasis if it's an 80 or 90 point loss. I understand that. But if you were so confident in your win that you were going to win, why didn't you talk before, not talk after? You know, I've talked both ways. No, I shouldn't say that. When I talk before the game for the most part. And if I lose,
then when you get humbled and put in your cage, because I put the beast in the cage.
I admit I got my butt beat. But I do talk smack if I'm up against you or anybody that I know, and a friendly thing going back and forth. I talk before the game. I don't even wait till after the game, man. Come on, that's cheesy in my opinion. Come on, man. Come on.
I'm going to tell Ricky to listen to the first 15 minutes of the show. Well, you know, we'll get into fantasy. But I thought that
what do you think? Well, tell me, what do you think?
Like I said, dude, I didn't have no problem with y'all talking trash. But when I got bought into it, that's a whole nother level.
Wait a minute. But he was talking trash after the game. The point is...
I know. I'll say this. You guys play this week. And you're playing right now, matter of fact.
Right.
And maybe he's talking about this week's game as opposed to the last time you guys. But he's just using that as fuel.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know. I'm not in Rick's head. But I would talk trash all the time, regardless.
Exactly.
Because that's just me. I mean, you know, failure's not an option. That's what his sign says, but
he's
already. So, we'll see.
We'll see. I mean, it's We'll see. Some of his guys are shaky. Some of them may not show up. So he's talking trash, and some of his guys may not show up. Remember that, Rick. You listened to the beginning of this. Some of your guys, I know you got your fingers crossed because you put them out of your lineup because you're not sure if they're going to show up or not. So
only thing I can say is money talks. Everything else walks.
Well, hey, all he has to do, he knows how to get in touch with me. He want to talk smack. Put some greens behind that, okay?
Yeah.
By the way,
I was going to say right now, looking at Devon Clowney play against Tennessee, and I recall we had him on our show. This kid is going to be projected as one of the top picks either this year or next year in the NFL draft. We had him on the show about a year or so ago.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, Vic, I saw an article a few weeks back, and I think I sent it to Black, and I'm not sure if I sent it to you, that he was in a Heisman.
Yeah, he's in the Heisman candidacy race. Will he get it? I don't think so. But I think he'll finish probably maybe fourth.
Well,
if he maintains, you know, that level, because right now I think Kentucky, K-State, quarterback is leading, and
right.
My guy out of West Virginia was Geno was in it, but you know,
mm-hmm.
two back-to-back blowouts. I don't think he's in it anymore.
Is he a sophomore, junior? What is he?
Sophomore,
right?
Sophomore.
Yeah, that's what I thought. He's got a tough road to hoe. But it's got to be saying something for as dominant as he's been. For him to be even in the conversation as a sophomore, as a lineman. So,
yeah, a DN in the SEC on
mm-hmm.
South Carolina. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's very, very commendable for him. And I'm glad that he's getting the recognition, and I'm glad we had him on the show when Black reached out and all that other good stuff. It was wonderful to have him. Maybe we'll get him again for the draft if he decides to come out. We'll see. That's hurt to try. But we will discuss today the big college football game between Notre Dame and my current school, Oklahoma.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but we'll hit the boss,
too. Oh, boy.
You know,
you float from one college to the other. I thought you were Alabama. Now you're Oklahoma. Now, next year,
Oklahoma,
what's it going to be?
I'm attending Oklahoma, so I have to, you know, follow them. My heart is with Bama and USC and Oregon and
we're all over the map. You're all over the map.
Yeah, I like college football. I love college football.
But you just said your heart's with Alabama, USC, and I forget
Oregon.
I mean that's
Miami,
that's literally all
Ohio
over the map.
State. Michigan.
Yeah, that's literally all over the map. You look at the United States and those teams is all over all over the map.
What's the problem with that? What the problem is?
You said your heart is. Well, I mean, your heart.
I can divide my heart up.
Oh, God. Okay. Whatever. Whatever.
All right. So, anyway.
I'm in a confrontational mood today. So, I'm in my confrontational and militant mood. I feel back in the 70s
the
today.
Fight the power. You know, put the fist up. All right.
I got it up.
Of the Chicago Bulls about his return. And Charles Barkley talks about David Stern stepping down from as a commissioner of the NBA. If you guys haven't heard, David Stern has decided 2014 will be the final year that he is commissioner of the NBA. And I wanted to get Black on the phone because I know we all feel strongly about David Stern and his militant behavior as a commissioner of the NBA. Hope he calls in. If not, we'll see. We can talk about it. Can the Tigers come back from down 0-2 in the best of 7 series? I say yes, but we'll talk about it here. We'll also talk some fantasy football along with our picks.
Fantasy basketball.
Kind of soundbite. Huh?
Fantasy basketball.
Oh, yeah, we got a fantasy baseball draft happening today.
No,
hopefully
basketball, not baseball, basketball.
I thought I said basketball.
No, you said baseball. You said baseball, yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's all right. I'm the fact check here. Just keep on going.
My campaign will not be run by fact checkers.
And I approve this message.
This is true. All right, anyway. Let's keep it moving here. Like, as I was saying before, I got a ton of sound bites. So we'll start off here with college football. Talking about Javon Clowney just a minute ago. The big game right now is between Oklahoma, who I believe is ranked number 8, and Notre Dame, who's ranked number 3 over Oregon. Now, I don't know how Oregon fell from number 2 to number 4, but Notre Dame leapfrogged them somehow. I don't know how, but they did. But anyway.
You know, come on, you know why.
Well,
for the most part, the media is in love with Notre Dame, man. Come on.
I got you, brother. I got you. Yeah. Right now, let's hear from Bob Stoops on playing Notre Dame.
We're going to have to block them up. We'll spread out maybe a little bit more than other teams have, and hopefully that's to our advantage. But in the end, you still have to be able to be physical and move some people, and we'll try and do that.
Breaking news right now. Looks like Marcus Lattimore Lattimore, the running back from South Carolina, looks to have another leg injury. It doesn't look good. Trainers came out, they're messing with his legs, grabbing them and driving in pain. This kid had a ton of talent to go to the NFL. Right now, I don't think this kid is going to make it to the NFL. He does have to get free. But that's what I'm looking at right now. Anyway, Stoops says it's going to be a tough game, and, you know, the thing about Stoops, and if I'm attending Oklahoma right now, I have to say that it's a very big university, very, very big university. But Stoops, he can't win the Big One. I think he won his last bowl game. This game right here can catapult Oklahoma into the national championship picture with one loss. That one loss came to K-State at home, so that's going to hurt them. Notre Dame, they're playing a very good schedule, a very good schedule. They're going to play USC. They're going to play, another ranked opponent after Oklahoma. So, conceivably, if they do go undefeated, they are supposedly going to have a straight ride into the national championship game without playing a conference title game like other teams. So my question to you, Jerry, is, one, are you going to boom a Sooner or, you know, have the luck of the Irish, and what do you think about the complexion of college football and those top four?
Well, let me put it this way. Let me give you this tidbit first. According to ESPN, the running back for Notre Dame, one of their key running backs, George Atkinson III, who is third on the team in rushing, who leads the Irish in rushing touchdowns and yards per attempt, is not going to play today. And he didn't even make the trip, so due to flu-like symptoms. So that's going to be a hit on the Notre Dame and their ability to get into the end zone when the leading rushing touchdowns is not going to be there. But anyway, I'm looking forward to, and I probably won't get a chance because right after this show I got to go to a friend of mine's son's playing a football game, so I have to. I told him I would show up, so I'm going to go watch that. So I won't really get a chance to watch this game. I'm not exactly sure. What time is this game coming on?
It's the 8 p.m. game.
8 p.m. game. So Phil probably won't get a chance to really watch it because we have a fantasy basketball draft at 7:30. So if it's over, then I'll get a chance to watch maybe the end part of this. I'm not a Notre Dame fan. I watch college football sporadically, but I find it very fascinating that if you're a number two team and you haven't taken a loss and you haven't lost, haven't won, your wins
are all blowouts. All the wins
are all blowouts. That you would slip from 2 to 4, and Notre Dame would leapfrog you into the number 3 or number 2 hole, whatever it is.
Number 3 hole. Number
okay.
2 is Florida.
Okay. Yes. So I don't understand that. Maybe it's a lack of respect for the conference Oregon is in, but Notre Dame, I think, in my opinion, people could not wait. To get Notre Dame with a decent team and be able to push them up as far as they are right now to number 3. That's ahead of Oregon, which is mind-boggling to me. I don't understand that. I wish somebody could explain it to me. Maybe you can after I finish talking. Why would they push Notre Dame up past Oregon? And then Oregon even dropped from number 2 to number 4. That's 2 spots. How can you do that? And they haven't lost, and all the wins have been blowouts. That makes no sense to me.
I would say this, and I can't wait for the playoff system to come into play. I don't care if it's a plus, a 4, plus 1, whatever it is, the system needs to be implemented. I mean, the coaches poll and the fan poll. The fan poll has Oregon number 1. And I believe coaches spoke, but the computers are the ones that drop. Is Florida better than Oregon? I don't think so. Florida's okay, in my opinion. They're okay. They're not the number 2 team in the country. Honestly, if you look at what Notre Dame offers, because you're taking it back to the heritage of what Notre Dame used to be. And now they're trying to rekindle that. I don't know if it's, if that's part of it. Their schedule's good. They have a very good schedule. I would say they have a very, very competitive schedule. But I want to see them play tonight. Oklahoma is okay. Oklahoma used to have a good defense. I don't know how good their defense is going to be tonight. But if they beat Oklahoma, then I think the next team they got to beat is USC, who used to be in contention for the national title. But when they play them, they're not in the running. I think USC is ranked number 13 or something like that right now. So is it weighted wrong? Probably. I think Charles Davis on NFL Network said something that was really, really important. Don't worry about the rankings right now because you still got a whole bunch of games to play. And by that time, Notre Dame will not be number 2, which is possible. But at the same time, the total lack of respect to Oregon is receiving, getting leapfrogged by 2 teams, not just 1, by 2 teams, is kind of disrespectful. And
yes.
Kelly is going to, he probably might not want to put a whooping on the team they got to play today, which is, I believe, Oregon State. But, and I think Oregon State's ranked number 7 or 9 or something like that. But he's going to whoop the crap out of one of whoever they're playing today.
There's no doubt about it. He's going to definitely use that as a motivational tool to this team. Now, they got disrespected. They got pushed down from number 2 to number 4 for no apparent reason. And disrespecting the school, disrespecting the conference, I'm telling you, they're going to try to wear whoever the next opponent is. Unfortunately, is Oregon State. They're going to try to wear it right the hell on out.
Oh, of course, God, of course. But let's move on to another college game because the college atmosphere is pretty exciting right now. You got Penn State versus Ohio State. It's going to be a very good game. The quarterback for Ohio State, the starting quarterback, is not going to be the guy that started the season. He was hit sort of badly last week in their comeback win. So I think the second string quarterback is going to start for Ohio State. Penn State's coming off of a high. They had a couple of back-to-back wins, but I don't know if they're ready for Ohio State. Ohio State, I believe, is number six in the country. And let's see what, and they're undefeated as well. Let's see what Mr. O'Brien, the coach of Penn State, has to say about this upcoming game.
Well, I think at the end of the day, this is what college football is all about. You know, Penn State versus Ohio State, a great Ohio State team, and it's going to be a fantastic atmosphere here at Beaver Stadium, and our players are really looking forward to the challenge.
So they're going to Beaver Stadium, and it's not a place easy to win in, but I don't know if Ohio State is going to win this game. The reason why I say that is because the backup quarterback is a backup for a reason. And you say this all the time, Jerry.
Yep.
Backup is a backup for a reason. Now, is he a better passer than the starter in Ohio State? Probably so, because they run the read option, and he's better at the read option. But I don't want to make Penn State relevant, because they're not. They're going to be okay for this year. They can't go to a bowl. They can't do certain things. But at the same time, they're able to be competitive. They lost their starting running back to USC. They lost a couple of key players to other schools. And I think they're going to win this game. I really do. Based upon the fact that they have the momentum going for them, and Ohio State is going to use a backup. What do you think?
I like Ohio State, man. I understand this is a rivalry. And where is it played at?
Beaver Stadium. I think it's like a neutral stadium because the horseshoe isn't I thought it was going to be at the horseshoe, but O'Brien just said Beaver Stadium. So.
Well, I think Ohio State's the better team. Even with the backup, I still think they're a better team. And I like Ohio State in this. I just can't get behind a school and call me biased or whatever, but I just can't get behind a school that has got so much negative past history, latest history, I should say.
So you're going to hold the Jerry Sandusky thing over their head right now?
Like I said, call me biased, but that's I just prefaced it that just before I said made my statement. So I'm just thinking they deserve to everything that's bad, and for the next few years they deserve it because of what they perpetuated, the whole program perpetuated over the last, I would say probably last decade. So what goes around comes around, and I think it's come around, and I just think Ohio State's a better team anyway. So I like Ohio State in this game. So.
Okay. All right. Well, you've been wrong before. But
it won't be the first or last time, my man.
I know. But anyway, that's going to wrap up our college section because we have so many other topics to talk about. I want to get straight into MLB, Major League Baseball. What's going on? Where are these comeback kids coming from, the San Francisco Giants? I mean, their pitching staff is not better than Detroit's. Their bats aren't better than Detroit's. What is going on? Now, Jim Leland and Bochy, you know, people have been complaining about the weather. The weather's been an issue in San Francisco, stuff like that. But that really shouldn't matter when you're playing baseball. And Jim Leland says this about the weather and performance of his team right now.
It's cold, but, I mean, this is a World Series. I mean, this is, you know, it's cold for everybody. It's cold for the fans. The beer's cold. Everything's cold. It's great. Enjoy it.
Yeah, enjoy it, but your team's getting mollywopped right now. Here's Mr. Bochy on the weather during the game.
It's the World Series. You know, you can't be worried about how cold it is. And I threw a game in Chicago last year where it was 34 degrees and it was raining and sleeting, and I threw the ball pretty well that night. So I don't suspect that cold weather is going to be much of an issue. If I'm thinking about how cold it is, it means I'm not thinking about what I'm doing on the mound.
I apologize. That was Vogelsong, the next starting pitcher.
It's okay.
The Giants. But let's talk about that real quick. The psyche of a pitcher, or the ability of a pitcher to get his fastball going, or keep his joints loose, whatever the case may be. How does that play on a pitcher? Especially, you know, you're coming off of rest, 5 days rest or whatever it was, and you're not their best pitcher. You're the third best pitcher on the team. Even though during the season, Vogelsong heated up, then he cooled down towards the end. Is there anything to this weather thing, or is it just, like they said, a non-important factor?
It's the World Series. Just like both of those guys said, it's the World Series. It's this time of year. How cold can it possibly be in San Francisco? It's not in the 30s. It's not in the 40s. If it's just in the 50s. Excuse me?
Cold, bro.
Is
cold.
It? How cold, cold is cold?
For me, it's cold. I mean, it reminds me of the East Coast. That's
okay.
How cold it is.
Okay. Well, right now, the temperature here in the East Coast is about 50, 60 degrees, somewhere around there right now.
Yeah,
so it's about that. That's not cold in baseball terms. When you're talking about 30s.
Off of the harbor, you got to think about it. 50 degrees normal, and then you got that wind and stuff coming off the harbor. They're right there on the coastline.
It's the World Series, man. So one team's used to it, the other team's from Detroit. So Detroit.
I said Detroit should be used to it.
Yes, that's exactly it. So they have the weather basically has nothing to do with what's going on. Just like I had said before, in the Yankee series, they're just getting out-pitched. Plain and simple. The bats are alive. You got a team that's on a roll, meaning the San Francisco Giants, and a team that their ace and their second guy haven't pitched that well. And the other team has pitched exceptionally well, including guys that weren't pitching well during the season, guys that were getting ripped apart in the season, and now they're pitching well. So they're on a hot streak. It's just up to the Detroit Tigers to break that hot streak, and I don't think they can do it. Down 2-0, it's got to be a monumental comeback for them to overtake them. They absolutely pounded their ace, one of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher in the major leagues. They absolutely pounded him like he was a rookie, A-baller. They pounded him. That's got to affect the psyche of the Detroit Tigers. Like, wow, how can they hit Verlander like this? And then they turned around and did the same thing to the next pitcher. So I got to believe that it's going to cause the hitters to try to do more than they should be trying to do, impress, because the fact is they're not sure if their pitcher is going to be able to withstand the bats of San Francisco. And that's going to cause the pitchers for Detroit to try to do that much more and take them out of their comfort zone, because they're going to be pressing because they're down 2-0. So San Francisco's got nothing to lose. They can play like they have nothing to lose. And Detroit, who was the favorite going into this, has everything to lose and may be pressing even that much more. So,
do you think the layoff between the World Series game and the AL Championship game or series ending was a factor? Maybe they got complacent and San Fran is you know, they just found their stride and they just went straight to the game. I mean,
well, you can take it both ways. You can, and it all depends on the team. You can take it both ways. You can take it that a team needs the rest, because we've seen it both ways. We've seen it where a team that's had a long layoff comes back and plays like stormtroopers, and then we've seen it, a team that's come back from a long layoff and has played like the Detroit Tigers that played, getting pounded in the first two games. So you never know what's going to happen. You always want to have rest, okay, because it was a long season, and now you get a chance to rest before you go into the playoffs. And hopefully you come out and you come out as well as you were playing in the playoffs. Unfortunately, the first two games they haven't.
Okay. I mean, I think – oh, wow. Here's what I'm looking at. Sorry. Alabama, Florida, Kansas State, Oregon, Notre Dame, LSU, Oregon State, Oklahoma, USC, Georgia. Those are the top 15 teams in the land.
Okay.
Interesting. K-State jumped them. Wow. Anyway, it just flashed on the screen as you were talking about Detroit and answering the question. I didn't realize K-State had beat Ball over Oregon. Okay. Well, I mean, if you look at Detroit, they're built for power. They're built to actually do well in San Francisco's not arena, but
stadium.
In their stadium, left field is the shortest part of that stadium, and their back, Bethel Fielder, you know, I mean Prince Fielder, Cabrera, all these guys, they can hit to that field and make things happen. Why they haven't, I don't know. I mean, you say they're
pitching,
getting out pitched.
Yep.
Yeah, but at some point, you have got to have studied what these guys are able to do. You should know what they're able to do and what pitches they're going to come at you with. I would sit on it. I know Vogelsong, he sits on his fastball. That's what he does, his fastball and his changeup. I'm looking changeup and fastball every time I go to play. I'm not looking for any breaking balls. I'm not looking for any sliders. I'm looking for the changeup and the fastball. That's all I'm looking for. And maybe that's what Detroit's looking for, and that's why they're coming up short. I don't know right now. I just hope that Detroit wins, because I think they deserve the championship. They did it right. They built the team right. They spent some money, but they didn't spend a lot of money. All the players are clean. I think they're a very good team. I do. And hats off to Pablo Sandoval. 3 home runs in the World Series game. Reggie Jackson, Babe Ruth, and Albert Pujols. Only other 3 people that have ever done that. So that's pretty good company. But let's move on.
And I got a question for you.
Sure.
Who had Pablo Sandoval for the majority part of the season and drafted him?
There
and drafted him. And I think somebody wanted him very badly in the trade that we finally consummated. You remember that? Do you remember that?
I thought you were going to talk about it after 2 weeks after the fantasy baseball season.
Well, I think I'm talking about fantasy baseball, but I didn't talk about anybody winning anything. I just talked about you're making a leap from one to another. I'm just talking about fantasy baseball, but you want to take it to the other place where I'll surely want to go if you want me to go there, but I don't want to go there. I just was asking a question. And right away, you took offense, and you thought I was going to talk about my championship in fantasy baseball.
Jerry, you're going to get muted. Keep talking. Anyway, let's move on to basketball. This basketball's right around the corner, and we have a fantasy basketball draft coming up tonight. 2 things I want to talk about. last week I brought up Derrick Rose and his return, and you and I both made mention that he's not going to be the same explosive player that he was before. I believe the Bulls had a preseason game or several preseason games, and Derrick, you know, he's done his thing. He's trying to be explosive. But let's hear from the man himself on his play so far.
I just try to be myself, and I'm just a real person where I'm someone that knows where I came from. Like, no one in my neighborhood ever be talking to you right now. I know that at 23, I know a lot of stuff, or I look at stuff different, and I know where it could be.
Also, he's referring to there was a homicide. There was a large homicide of some young men recently in that area, and Rose has been a very big and outspoken person about the violence in Chicago and what's going on. You know what? I've never heard Michael Jordan talk about anything like that, and it was still going on during his time. Scotty, none of those folks really spoke about or took a stand, a public stand, a very
mm-hmm.
big visual public stand
mm-hmm.
about the situation. And, you know, he's coming back off an injury, and he's not trying to say that he's a savior or anything like that. He says he legitimately cares about the city. Sports has a way of galvanizing people, and his heart and his effort is what, you know, drove the Bulls. What do you see Derrick Rose doing or becoming in the next upcoming season, especially to the city of Chicago? Do you think he can somehow replace or find a way in people's hearts the way Michael Jordan did, or is he just going to be a good player and a good humanitarian?
Okay. I like Derrick Rose a lot. I really like this kid. He's down to earth. He's not afraid to speak his mind. More superstars should do that. But I think he's endeared himself to the city of Chicago. They really like this kid. They want to see this kid succeed. A lot of people are looking for this kid to be the Derrick Rose of old, and I don't think that's going to happen, at least not this season. He's got a long road back from that devastating knee injury, and I think he's going to have to change his game up. You had talked about this just like I have, that the way he stops and jumps and explosion to the basket, I don't see that happening, especially this year. I don't see that happening. I have a hard time drafting this kid anywhere in fantasy basketball, because the fact is, I think it's going to be a situation where the team is going to have kid gloves with this kid, and bring him along very, very extremely slowly, because they don't want something horribly happen to him. Because they're trying to protect him from himself. Because, you know, this kid wants to play basketball, and he wants to go out there and help his teammates to win. He's that conscious of playing team ball, and I know he probably feels the weight of the team on him. So they're going to have to protect him from himself. And this may be, I wouldn't say a lost year, but this may be a rehab year for Derrick Rose. And he'll play better next year, but the old Derrick Rose, I don't think you're going to see that. I think this knee injury is too devastating that he's lost some of his explosiveness.
So you're just taking him off your board, your fantasy board.
Oh yeah, he's not going to be on my board. I can tell you that right now. Anybody who's in a fantasy basketball, including you, Vic, want to draft him, go right ahead. I don't trust him at all. I like the kid. But off that knee injury, being explosive, I don't think he's going to be the same Derrick Rose. Not this year. Next year maybe, but not this year.
So who then would you have in your top, let's say your top 10 basketball players?
My top 10 basketball players?
Different fans.
Fantasy. Let me see here. Let me see my top ten. Kobe would be one of them. LeBron would be another. KG another. That's three. I'm trying to think who off the top of my head if I can think
of
these.
KG over. Go ahead. I'll let you.
Well, this is not in order. I'm just giving you guys. They're not in order. Like, I wouldn't pick Kobe Bryant first, but I'm saying he's in the top 10. Absolutely. The Black Mamba's got to be in the top 10. I'm trying to think. Chris Paul. I'm trying to think who the heck else is there in there.
Don't worry. I mean, I was trying to see. You know, who you have in the top 10 over Derrick Rose. I wouldn't put Kevin Garnett over Derrick Rose in my top 10, even right now. I know he's coming off of an injury, but I would select Derrick Rose right now over Kevin Garnett because Kevin is coming down in his career. And I think even though with Rose's injury, you can equal them out. Yeah, KD's going to get you 10. Or he's going to get you a double-double. But he's not going to be that prolific scorer anymore. He's not going to be that force that Rose is, in my opinion.
Wait a minute now. Did I say KG? I meant the KD, Kevin Durant.
Oh, okay.
Did I say KG? If I say KG, I was wrong. I meant Kevin Durant. So
you were wrong. It's accepted now.
All right, okay.
Accepted now. You're okay.
No, there's no way I think the Kevin Garnett is top 10. No way. So.
Well, that's
no.
all I was asking.
Yeah. No.
Alright. Well, let's move on in basketball land. As the reign of terror comes to an end in 2014. Now, Charles Barkley says that David Stern was such a bad guy. That is what Charles Barkley got to say about David Stern.
Nobody can deny what he's done. And I honestly, not being biased in anything, he's been the best commissioner probably in sports ever, to be honest with you. I mean, when I got to the NBA in 1984, the average salary was like $300,000. Now it's over $5 million.
So, Barkley's saying that he's been the best NBA commissioner in history, in league history. And yes, I wouldn't attribute the salaries of the players to the commissioner because he works for the owners. I would attribute the salary of the players to the negotiations of the union reps. But what do I know? I've never played professional basketball. What do you think about Stern stepping down? And, what do you think about Charles's comments?
Well, even though he's been heavy-handed and tough on times on a lot of players and been a dictator, in my opinion, he has moved the league to crazy revenue, unprecedented revenue in the NBA. I'm surprised. I was shocked to hear that he was stepping down. I guess he's tired of whatever pressures or the rigmarole of dealing with the NBA and whoever else. David Stern is going to be probably inducted into the NBA Basketball Hall of Fame at one point for his work as a commissioner. But he, at times, has been heavy-handed. He, at times, has been heavy-handed even with his words. I'm not sorry. Let me put it this way. I'm not sorry to see him go because some of the ways in his speak at times is unnecessary. But be careful what you wish for. So you may have somebody worse or somebody better, meaning worse as in worse than David Stern or better than David Stern. You never know. So
that's what I was going to say. His replacement is his understudy, so to speak. And he's a younger version of David Stern, from what I understand. But I'm hoping for the NBA players to see that this guy's more, well, I'm not going to say more in touch because Stern was in touch with the players, but I don't think the younger generation, I don't think he's going to keep up with them. Katie's generation is not, you know, his forte. But this new commissioner is going to come in 2014. Again, it's his understudy, second in command, if you want to, you know, go that way, and should provide the players, I guess you could say, more of the Stern regime.
Well,
probably, you know, maybe not as heavy-handed.
Probably in the beginning, because this is usually what happens when you have a change of command. Or a change of commissioner. In the beginning, they want to let you know who's in charge. So they may be a little bit heavy-handed in the beginning, and then let the foot off the pedal after a while. That's usually the MO of a commander taking over or a commissioner taking over. They let whoever is under them know that I'm the man in charge. Just because I've taken over doesn't mean it's going to be any easier than the prior regime. And then after a while, if the commissioner seems fit, then he may let his foot off the pedal. But if he's younger, most young guys, if they come in after a legend like David Stern, want to make a name for themselves.
Okay.
So just keep that in mind, that a younger version of David Stern may not have the same respect, and the only way he's going to gain respect is to take it a step further than David Stern would have, to gain that respect. And like, just because I'm a younger version doesn't mean that you're going to push, I'll be a pushover. So.
Okay. I mean, I can't wait for the NBA season to actually kick off because I'm going to ignore it again, except for fantasy. But
due to fantasy, you know, relating to fantasy, we're going to have a draft, and once I dominate this draft over you, then you're going to be irrelevant halfway through the season because the amount of wins I pile up, you won't be. You won't matter, so...
Look, Mr. Irrelevant, it doesn't matter what you say.
Just like at the end of the season, just like my name of my team, I'll be the closer. That's all I can tell you. I'll be the closer.
Close these. I want you to close these, because I'm going to win, hopefully. I've never done well in freaking basketball, but it's first time for everything.
Hey, this is my first time. Hold on. Excuse me. This is my first time playing fantasy baseball. I mean basketball.
There you go. You always got to put that in there, don't you?
I didn't. Excuse me. I didn't do that
on
purpose.
That's why you're choking now.
I didn't do that on purpose. I did that by accident.
Yeah. Okay.
I really did. Whatever. I really did. I misspoke.
Oh, so you're doing a Mittens Romney. Okay, I got you. You misspoke, Mittens? All right.
My wife's laughing at me. Anyway. My wife's shaking my finger at me because she knows I should have
exactly.
Said.
Your wife knows the truth just like I know the truth.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I apologize. I really didn't mean it.
Whatever.
Oh, yes, I did. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yes, I did. Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't have a heart attack.
Life is good, man. I'm sorry.
Whatever. Tell your wife she needs to spank you or something like that.
Ooh,
anyway.
That's tonight, man.
Oh, jeez. I did not need to know about the Jerry Axis Jungle Boogie. I did not need to know about that.
Along with the toe sucking, man.
You and Rex Ryan. You and Rex Ryan. Yeah, I got issues. Well, let's move on, okay? Because
go ahead. man.
We got to jump into football.
Okay.
We're going to talk about this game off the bat. So we have sound bites. Eli Manning is undefeated in Jerry's house.
Yeah, right? That's crazy.
How can Eli, a New York Giant, undefeated in Jerry's house? The Taj Mahal. Well, it's not easy, but Eli says that playing the Cowboys is always a challenge.
When you have an opportunity to play a team again, you want to go out there, since you've lost, and have a better performance. And, you know, we feel we can play better than we did the first time. It's Giant style. It seems like all of them have been tight games, and you know, last-second field goals or you know, two-minute drives at the end. So, you know, we've made plays when we needed to, and I have a feeling that we're going to have to do that same type of game.
Well, I don't think so. Yeah. Felix got a bum hip, but he's going to play. Tanner is the guy that you might want to pick up for this game. Or they're going to rely a lot more on Dez Bryant and Miles Austin.
What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Hey, I can do it because I'm not going to be here next week. Remember, I'm not here next week. I got to work. So I'm going to steal your thunder this week.
You're not going to be here tomorrow, you mean?
No.
Okay.
Next Saturday.
Okay. Is it just Saturday or both? You're not going to be
it's
on
both.
Okay.
It's both.
You got another drill then?
Yeah, man. We're doing PT test, and I got to give Commander Climate Survey and all this other mess.
Wow. Things have come down, huh?
Well, he's taking over, but, you know, we're still talking about football, but the battalion doesn't need to be one, but he wants to be one, so I'm going to administer one. But it is what it is.
Okay.
So Eli goes down to Texas and defeats the Cowboys on a regular basis. Romo says it's hard playing the Giants.
They're really complete ball club, all over the place, from offense to special teams, and obviously defensively. So you just have to be prepared for everything with them. It's a great challenge, but you know, it'll be a great test for us, and we're excited about that.
What we going to do, Fat Rodney, about this game? Will the Cowboys beat the Giants for a second time, but for the first time at home? Talk to me, Jerry.
You know, there's something going on in Dallas. There is definitely something going on in Dallas, especially with the quarterback. The quarterback seems like he's a little bit more passive or laid back. I don't know. He doesn't have doesn't seem like he has that fire that that you would want from your quarterback. I think he's just resolved to the fact of his team or whatever.
Mediocrity?
Yeah. You cooking something? It's not that good, and he's resolved to the fact. He's, you know, that bothers me. I mean, I expect Tony Romo to be a lot better than he has been this past season. He's had a good game against the Giants, but for the most part after that, he's been really inconsistent. But they're playing the Giants at home, and I know they're sick and tired of the Giants. Consider it the Dallas Stadium to be Giants Stadium. So I think, in my opinion, I may be going out on a limb or whatever. I'm not a Dallas Cowboy fan, but I think Dallas Cowboys will win this game.
I don't think so. I think they're going to have a sense of urgency, and you might see more gadget plays than normal. You got to remember, they just lost Sean Lee, their outstanding middle linebacker for the season.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense wasn't that good to begin with. So now your leading tackler is gone for the season. You're going right up the middle. Bradshaw's got to be licking his chops. I don't think the Cowboys can stop Bradshaw or Brown, the young kid Brown. I think it's going to be exercise of futility for the Cowboys. They're going to have to throw the ball a lot. And if Dez doesn't get it, Austin doesn't get it, Ogletree doesn't get it, this is a prime time for Jason Witten. I think it really is a prime time for Jason Witten. But that will be probably the only real spot for them. Felix is okay, but he's hurt.
No.
That's why I said Tanner might be the guy. He said no.
And I disagree. For the simple reason is this. Jason Witten has always been Tony Romo's BFF. Against the Giants are one of the worst teams playing against the tight end for one. So Jason Witten's going to get his. Plus the fact the Giants secondary is not all that. I understand they have a pass rush, but they do have some options. Austin is probably a better option than Dez Bryant, even though Dez Bryant gets a lot of targets. He doesn't get into the end zone that much. Austin has a better chance to get into the end zone. And the Giants' DBs can be beat. And Dez Bryant and Miles Austin can beat both of them. So I understand that the Cowboys have running back issues, so do the Giants. Ahmad Bradshaw, he's dealing with some foot issues. Now, I understand they may put Andre Brown in there, but don't think that the Dallas Cowboys don't realize that and are prepared for that. I think the DBs for Dallas are a lot better than the DBs for the Giants. This is going to be a closer game than you think. And it just like that recording said, comes down to a field goal. I think that's probably what it's going to do, come down to a field goal. And I really, sooner or later, the Giants are going to play, I would say, a bad game, but the Dallas Cowboys are going to play a better game in their home stadium and beat them. And who could do better than, or what could be better than to do it now, especially when they have their middle linebacker, their lead tackler, out for the season. When people least think that the Dallas Cowboys are going to be able to do anything against the Giants, especially running up the middle, I think that the Dallas Cowboys are going to rally and win this game.
I don't think so. I think Jerry Jones just flipped his mouth, and the Cowboys are going to make sure he's there. But it is what it is. Let's move on to a team, into a game that features two quarterbacks going opposite directions. I'm talking about the Atlanta Falcons and the
Got to protect the football. You know, that's been the only thing that's been my problem and the only thing I had to deal with. And, it sounds like it's easy, and sometimes it can be. But, sometimes you get depressed and then, you make decisions that you shouldn't make. And, just got to be conscious in the moment.
Let me bring in, I think I got Black the Bookie on. Let me bring him up in here. Hey, Black, what's going on, partner?
Oh, man, just feeling bad right now, man. Just saw a horrible injury. Once again, South Carolina's Marcus Lattimore, devastating knee injury, suffered in the game versus Tennessee.
Yeah. I was just talking about that when it happened. I was talking to, me and Jerry were talking about something, and it's his career in the NFL is probably going to be null and void. He won't be drafted because he's too injury prone. But it could have been a very promising year for the young man.
Well, let me ask a question here. Lattimore, that rings a bell. Is he any relation to Ray Lewis?
No.
No? Because I know he had a
his brother Keon Lattimore.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Okay, no. I'm just asking.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
Black,
we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys and going up against the Giants playing in Dallas in Giants Stadium. What do you think about that?
Well, we just did, but just to preface it,
Eli and the Giants are 3-0 in our stadium, so.
No, that's Giants Stadium. That's not Dallas Stadium or whatever. That's Giants Stadium.
As I just stated, they are 3-0 in our stadium.
It's not yours.
I don't know what to think about it. just like Ben Roethlisberger has never thrown a touchdown against the Redskins.
Really?
There's some things that are unfathomable. You just don't know.
Really? I didn't know that.
Well, now you know it. No one's half the battle.
Okay.
Question for you guys. Before I get to this Philly Atlanta game, because that's where we're at, actually. Hurricane or tropical storm Sandy, is she going to affect NFL games this weekend?
Possibly.
No, she'll be here Monday morning.
Okay, so Sunday, it shouldn't be any issues.
Yeah, all the games should get off Sunday, no problem.
Okay. Well, don't ask Black. Black, what's the town of town? What's the city of Washington, D.C. and surrounding areas doing to prepare for this?
Right now, the state of emergency has been declared in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia as of last night.
Right.
Wow.
So right now, as you hit the streets of D.C., everybody's at the grocery store, the hardware store, buying up ice, buying up food, buying up batteries, getting everything they can.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mess down here. It's a mess.
Wow.
It's supposed to come your way, too, though, Jerry.
Absolutely. And we may be in the main portion of it. I think it's supposed to hit the central part.
I don't know how you prepare for power being out for weeks. I'm not sure how you do that.
Yeah, you're right.
Generator. You got to get a generator and plenty of gasoline.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It's supposed to hit, I think it's supposed to hit the central part of Jersey, which I happen to live in. That'd be I wouldn't say the eye or whatever you want to, the main avenue of this thing is traveling. So I'm surprised when you see it on the weather model that this thing takes an abrupt or left turn. I've never seen that in a hurricane. I've always seen it like travel up the coast and how they were explaining it
is that the cold front that's to the west of it is just going to snatch it up and bring it that way. That's why it's making that abrupt turn.
Okay.
Then it'll be two storms in one, which is historic.
A nor'easter
mixed with a hurricane. That's never happened before.
Right.
So we're in for something historic up here on the East Coast. Just
mm-hmm.
hope everybody makes it through.
Right.
That's going to be rough, guys.
Yeah.
That's going to be rough. And mm-hmm. not a lot of people are going to be going to these games knowing that this stuff is coming their way. And, wow. All right. Let's move back to football. We're on Atlanta visiting Philly. Does Atlanta get their first loss of the year? I think they do. Coming off a bye week, I think Andy Reid, who is undefeated, coming off a bye week, and at home, decides to take the ball out of Michael Vick's hand and put it in Shady's hand, whether it's by screen or run. I think it's going to be more on Shady McCoy to make this thing work. Todd Bowles is going to get their defense, I guess, acting the way it should be. Nnamdi Asomugha came out talking about, well, it's come out that Nnamdi Asomugha was one of the people that were outspoken about, the former defensive coordinator, and was part of the reason as to why he was let go. But what's going to happen in this game? Will Vic turn the ball over? Will Deshaun Jackson make an appearance? What's the deal here? We got Black on, so I'm going to let him go first, and then we're going to go with Jerry.
You're talking about Andy Reid taking the ball out of Michael Vick's hands. How about the Atlanta Falcons taking the ball out of Michael Vick's hands?
Whichever
way you want to put it. The Eagles are shooting themselves in the foot. I think this is the swan song for Andy Reid. I'll take the Atlanta Falcons on the road in Philly.
Wow. Really? I think whatever problems they had or whatever things that were going on,
A bye week is not going to solve all your problems.
Well, just listen to what I was going to say. Just listen. I don't think they're going to solve all the problems, but I think they're going to solve some of the problems that they had going into the second half of the season for the Philadelphia Eagles. True, I think the Shady McCoy is probably going to get the ball more, but Andy Reid likes to put the ball in the air, and I think that he's still going to put the ball in the air to Macklin, Deshaun Jackson, and check down to Brent Celek in a passing game. I like, you can't go against history. He's undefeated coming off a bye week. I have to go with that. He's playing at home, coming off a bye week. That's optimum for me. So I have to go with the Philly.
Okay. Easier said than done, son. All right, let's move on.
You guys are funny. You really think Andy Reid is going to hand off 25 to 30 times? We got another thing coming.
He did it 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 3 weeks ago. He did it 3 weeks ago. Shady had 25 rushes. And they won
right,
the game.
But before that, 2 weeks ago, when was the last time he's done that?
Well, I mean, I understand your point. But I think he's going to realize that he has to control the game. In order to control the game and not get his quarterback killed or cause turnovers by his quarterback, is to run the ball. He's going to have to, because the more times you let Michael Vick drop back and throw the ball or expose him in a run play, the higher the likelihood of him having a turnover.
Mm-hmm.
Let Shady get, have an issue. Let somebody else have an issue. Just don't let Michael Vick be the one to have the issue. And that's going to cancel out Macklin. That's going to cancel out Jackson. That's going to cancel out Brent Selleck, because they're probably not going to go deep all the time. Often, because he's holding the ball quite a bit trying to make things happen, and he's paying the price for it big time. So, that's my thought process on it. But, it might change. Let's move on to Jerry's next favorite team in the world, as the Dolphins come to town and they take on the J-E-T-S, Jets.
You guys are so funny. It's ironic there's Black on here because he keeps on.
You to talk about, and Black, we're going to talk about your commissioner skills too. How you going to let, Ricky jump on Jerry like that and throw me in the fray, but it's all good. Right now, let's talk about the Dolphins and the Jets. What you got to say about that game, then Jerry?
The Dolphins and the Jets, what is there to say? What is there to say about that game?
I hear you, Black.
The Miami Dolphins are putrid, and so are the Jets. Might get a great game for Sanchez now that he's broken up with Eva Longoria. So look for Sanchez to have a good game.
All right.
Go ahead, Jerry.
According to recent SI player poll, the most overrated NFL player are Tim Tebow, Mark Sanchez, and Tony Romo, in that order. And I'm not making this up. I keep on saying it. I hear trade rumors. I've seen on the line that there may be trade rumors for Tim Tebow. I said it from the beginning, way before the beginning of the season, and it has proven me up until this point to be right. It was a mistake to get this kid in the first place. It's still a mistake, and it's time to cut bait and get rid of this kid. As in relation to the game, just like Black says, what's to talk about? You got two poor teams going up against each other, even though they're division rivals, which a lot of people like to watch because it's historic between the Jets and the Miami Dolphins. But it's been watered down because the talent level on both sides is not all that. And they've been having a war of words going back and forth, Reggie Bush and Aaron Maben and Rex Ryan and I forget the other guy. They're going back and forth. Pouncey, I think, from the Dolphins. So they've been going back and forth with a war of words about who should apologize, who shouldn't, and whatever kind of garbage because of things that were said and things that happened between Revis and Bush getting hurt in the same game. Getting hurt, let me put it that way. They're going to Miami. They haven't swept Miami in quite a while. Miami's coming off at a bye at home. I'm going to have to go with Miami.
Mm.
And that's not a bias against the Jets because I'm no longer a Jet fan, but the simple fact is I favor a team playing their first game off of a bye, getting rested and prepare for that team for virtually 2 weeks. So I like the Miami Dolphins. And Tannehill has been playing a lot better, too. So.
Okay. Well, Daniel Thomas is coming back off his concussion, and he's going to help Reggie Bush carry the load because Reggie's injured or no, Reggie wants to get back at the Jets because of that hot sauce. You know, it was some good hot sauce. But I think the Jets played a pretty good game last week versus the Patriots. They just fell short. I think they're going to build off that loss and get a win this week versus the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins have overachieved all year long, and it's going to come to a head now. Reggie will get his touches, so will Daniel Thomas, so will Brian Hartline. But I think the deficit is going to be too much for him to overtake. Will it be a Mark Sanchez game, or will it be a Green game? I don't know. But either way, I think the Jets win this game. Let's move on. San Diego Superchargers take on Cleveland Browns. Now, here's the stickler in this game. Trent Richardson might be sat down for this game and through the bye week just so he can have the additional rest. There's a strong possibility of that. San Diego's coming off of a very disappointing loss to the Colts where they had a lead. Phillip Rivers threw four interceptions and let Peyton Manning back in the door. You can't do that if you want to be considered one of the best quarterbacks and take your team to the championship. You just can't do that. They're coming off a bye. I'm picking San Diego to win this game because I think Ryan Matthews is going to run all over Cleveland. Conversely, I see Brandon Wheaton having an outstanding passing game versus the Chargers. Lack JT.
Norvell Turner.
That's all you got to say?
I hear you, Black. You know what? I'm not even going to go any further than what Black said. Norvell Turner. You know how I feel about him. I have nothing else to say.
So you both are picking Cleveland?
Absolutely.
Black?
I'm picking San Diego.
I'm picking Cleveland. Trust me. They're going East Coast to West Coast. I don't care if they're coming off a bye. They're going on the road. And I can't stand Norvell Turner. I think he's one of the worst head coaches of all time. And Philip Rivers,
one of the greatest offensive minds you've ever known.
That's why Philip Rivers is the turnover waiting to happen. That's why he threw four interceptions in his last game. That's why he said that he's going to dummy down the offense. Meaning,
offense, yeah.
Yeah, that means Philip Rivers is not going to get as many passing opportunities. He's going to hand the ball off or dump
Ryan
the ball
Matthews.
Off to Ryan Matthews. So, because.
But Phillip Rivers is no Troy Aikman, so let's get that understood. You have to dummy down stuff for Phillip Rivers. You have
to. Hey, let me put it this
way. Why don't you dumb down the offense if you've been in that offense for the past 5-6 years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even longer. I mean, that is a telling statement. Whether it's Phillip or the rest of the offense, that's not getting it. I mean, the only people that haven't been in that offense the longest, Antonio's been in there longer, Phillip's been in there longer, Matthews is his third year in the same offense. It's the receivers. Michael Floyd's been there, but other than that, who else? Nobody. So it could be not that it's a Phillip Rivers issue, maybe it's the rest of the offense's issue. You got Robert Meacham, who only had one good game, and that was against New Orleans. Got Eddie Royal, you've got Rosario, you've got other people in skill positions that just aren't, you know, it's their first year in it. And they're probably just not getting it and being where they're supposed to be or doing what they're supposed to do. And Phillip is suffering. He misses.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I mean, he had the same issues last year. And he still has the same issues this year, and with the same supporting cast, only maybe one or two guys, two guys, Eddie Royal and Meacham, being the only two guys that weren't there last year. And he had his worst season last year, and he carrying it over to this year. So, North Turner's going to dummy down the offense for a reason, because his quarterback hasn't been playing well, and he hasn't been playing well for a while. It's not just this year. He hasn't been playing well for a while. I don't know if it's an arm issue, shoulder issue, or between the ears issue, but he hasn't been playing well. So, and if it, truth be told, his job, meaning North Turner's, and A.J. Smith's job are on the line. And if they keep playing like this, North Turner and A.J. Smith, in my opinion, they should have been going last year. They're going to be going this year.
I think one or two, if not both, will be gone this year coming up. After we got about 9 minutes left alive there, so what I want to do real quick is promo all the shows, and we'll get back to this, and we're definitely going to go to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow at 10 a.m., Master Plan comes on the air. He's going to get some great starts and fits for your games that are coming up. Trust me, the man knows what he's talking about. He just can't see me. But check him out. Right here, same bet time, same bet channel. I might.
That's why you owe me 25. But that's okay. I can wait.
Oh, Slim, don't even go there. We don't want to bring up the 400 I never got.
Hey,
it's okay.
That's revisionist history. That's over and done with.
Revisionist history.
That's
okay.
Over and done with. It's been taken care of. Long ago.
Okay.
Long ago.
Well, we got another game. We got more games coming up tomorrow on a bet backstop. You'll end up owing me like $300 by the time the season's open.
I don't think so.
Sounds like a bunch of poverty.
Yeah.
A bunch of poverty. Wow. All right. Then on Tuesdays, you got Compassion Dakini with Kim Fun doing her thing. She's going to probably have a wonderful, great guest again. If you missed last week's episode, please check it out. It was a very, very good episode. Then on Thursday, you have FSP Cruise Show. I won't host it this time. But I enjoyed hosting it this past week. It was a very nice and talented young lady, Ava Knight.
You've been demoted from hosting Thursday shows. that was your last time hosting.
Oh, my God. That was a debacle.
Hey,
I really have to apologize. I apologize for that. I told him. I thought he was going to get there in time. He got hung up. And Thursday and Friday, I got hung up, and I couldn't get home until – after the show started on both days, and Thursday,
I stepped in like a champ.
Yes, I appreciate you, Vic. At least he got there whenever I don't even know exactly what time he got there, but at least he got there. Black, I didn't get there until like more than half the show was over, and this Friday, I didn't get there at all. And Vic had to run an old show. So I really appreciate Mr. Gardner helping me out in my time of need, in our time of need. And I will remember it in the future.
I know you do. I know. See there, Black? Anyway.
What are you telling me? What do I see?
Whatever. Hey, speaking of which, like I said, Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, the crew. FSP Crucial, that's my guy. Jerry Black and Jeff, they're going to hold it down. You got anything special coming up this Friday, the Thursday?
Hopefully we'll have the hard hitter, Mayfield, after his fight tonight from HBO.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All
right.
That's right. He's fighting tonight on HBO, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So, working with Mr. Bautista is going to pay out big time dividends. I appreciate that. Good work,
Kareem Mayfield. Kareem Mayfield. Remember that.
Kareem Hardhead of Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So y'all going to have them on. Then on Friday, no chaser. Mac Williams, Jerry Taylor. I don't know what's going to happen this Friday. Jerry might want to talk something. I know Mac probably ain't going to want to talk about it. We going to talk about something. We going to talk about something.
What would this be?
It's going down on Friday. All I have to do is tell you to call in. That's all, or just to listen. You may want to call in after you hear what's going down.
What's going down Friday?
Well, the show.
Is there a special day happening or something? All
I suggest you do is listen.
Let me check my calendar. Let me look at my calendar.
7 p.m. Friday, which would be the 2nd of November. 3 days or 4 days, whatever it is. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. 5 days
right.
before the election.
Yes, it is. Then on Saturday, since I will not be able to host the show, I may be able to call in. I'm not sure yet, but most likely I will.
As I look at my calendar, I do see that it's a very critical day there. Are you guys going to discuss how Romney will be the president and how Biden will be the vice president?
What?
What in the world are you smoking?
I see that the electorate is getting very, very close. And if it ends in a 269-269 tie, you know, one the House will vote for one guy and the Senate will vote for the other.
And then the military vote counts. And unfortunately, a lot of military folks, well, actually, military folks split down the middle, to be honest.
That's what I'm saying. I saw some models. And the military would not have a vote in this. It would be the House
we'll
of Senate.
We'll see what happens. But that's on Friday. Then Saturday, Jerry's going to sit in and host the show for me. Hopefully some people come in to help him out. Usually when he hosts, the ratings go up. Why? He tells his daggone relatives to listen in. Other times, I don't know why, but whatever.
He's a great host. That's why he hosts the FSP Crew Show.
I'm going to get you a daggone computer so you can host the show. Matter of fact, you know what? My wife showed me how
I can host the show from my phone now. You don't have enough things for me to host.
Oh, so
you can host from the phone?
Yeah.
How can you host from the phone?
She showed me how I could get to the studio through my phone and run the switchboard through my phone.
What?
So, yeah. Yeah, just use the internet browser and go to it. You got to open up Blog Talk Radio as a the main site, not the mobile site. And log in, and then you pick studio, call in, and you run it right from your phone. That's what I was doing Thursday until I got into the house.
Okay.
So, you're able to do that. I mean, you're going to have to zoom in and hit the numbers and the sounds and stuff like that. Yeah, you can do that. Anyway,
okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Fantasy Sports and Politics. This is our Saturday edition. We got 2 minutes left live there. Like as I said, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, it's a party. You got to dig it.
Party!
But let's get back to these games and stuff like that, and I appreciate you guys listening because without you guys, we wouldn't have much or very much. Let's go to the Colts and the Titans game. It's a very interesting game to me because I think it's going to be a telling game for, wait for it, the first overall pick in the NFL draft, Mr. Luck. You might say, why are you saying that, Vic? I'm saying this because this is a game that he's going to go on the road to a place where Tennessee is filling their self. They're filling their oats. Chris Johnson went for almost 200 yards in his last game. I think they're going to continue to feed Chris Johnson in order to, build off of him. The offense is picking up steam. The defense isn't that bad. The Colts go into this game and they lose to Tennessee. I think Tennessee wins this game. I think Kenny Britt has an outstanding game, along with Hasselback, TJ2K. I don't think he's going to repeat what he did, but I said that last weekend, look what he did. So I don't think the Colts are going to do very well in this game. For some reason, something's telling me the Colts are going to lose miserably in this game. Take it away, Black.
Man. Colts on the road?
Colts are on the road.
Oh, man, this is going to be a tough one. What's the status of Mr. Pat Angerer? Is he fully healthy now?
Angerer has been healthy, but he's no longer the starting middle linebacker. It is Freeman. Freeman is the starting middle linebacker. Angerer is a back.
As much as I would love to roll with Indianapolis in this one, I might have to also go with Tennessee. But I need CJ 2K to have maybe about 10 yards rushing, though, to make me satisfied in this one.
10 yards rushing. Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's going up against somebody that has CJ 2K. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you that. Anyway, in this game, I hope Andrew Luck throws for 10,000 yards in this game.
Wow.
For the simple reason, Slick Ricky is playing me, and I do have Andrew Luck as my starting quarterback. And in order to shut up hard work and dedication, failure is not an option.
AKA,
I need to...
also known as your dad. But continue.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And you jumping into the fray.
Wow.
Ain't this some... You know what? Ain't this some...
Wow.
Oh, man. Anyway, I need to Andrew Luck have, up until this point, a career day. I like Indianapolis to not win this game, but Andrew Luck to throw lights out in this game because Tennessee's defense is horrible. So one of the worst defenses in the league along with Indianapolis. So I think this may be a shootout. So hopefully it is.
Wow.
But I like Tennessee in this game.
I didn't go with the dad thing, but I guess it's two against two. Me and you versus him and Rick. Cause that's crazy.
I could trade you Andy Dalton right fast.
Oh, no. I like Andrew Luck. Trust me. I like Andrew Luck a lot in this game. Trust me.
And Andy Dalton's on a bye week, so.
Yes, I know that. I knew that. I knew
all
that.
Right. I don't know. Let's go to London. London, England, where the Patriots take on the Rams. The Rams gave a valiant effort last week. I really thought they should have won that game, but they broke down towards the end of the game versus the Packers. So I'm not sure what to expect when they run across the pond. Everybody likes Tom Brady because of his wife, Miss Munchen, not for him. Aaron Hernandez did not make the trip. That equals more touches for Wes Welker. It also means somebody's going to get grunked up. And Patriots win this game handily. Handily.
Oh, really?
Wembley Stadium. Yes, I believe so. Black.
I like the St. Louis Rams' chances on the neutral field outside of the U.S. Look for a big game from Steven Jackson and Mr. Richardson, but Steven Jackson in particular. New England, what can you say? They're the monsters of the midway up there in New England. They might put on a show, but I like the Rams' chances in this one, so I'm going to go with the Rams with the upset pick.
Two things that are going on here, with a couple things that I can stand out. Tom Brady is not having a Tom Brady year, for one, and that offense is not as prolific as it was, has been in the past. And the other thing is that St. Louis's defense has been typical Jeff Fisher, especially the two DBs that they have, like that combination of Courtland Finnegan and Javoris Jenkins, is very tough to handle, and it's going to be a big test for Tom Brady in this game. I'm looking for an upset here, Brady. They're 4-3. They're 4-3. They have been playing that well, and they're up against a stiff defense. I think Steven Jackson can run in here, and I definitely think Sam Bradford can throw on New England's DBs, Chris Givens and Brandon Gibson. I think they're going to have very good days tomorrow. So I like St. Louis in this game along with Black.
All right. Let's go to the next game. Now, this is an interesting game because Blaine Gabbert might play. He might not play. Not sure right now.
Won't make a difference.
But let's go to Green Bay, where Mr. Rashad Jennings has the opportunity to have a career game versus that whack Green Bay defense. I'm picking Green Bay to win a game, though. Take it away, Black.
I'm picking Green Bay to win the game. Take it away, Jerry.
I hope Rashad Jennings has a career day tomorrow, because I happen to have Also, along with Andrew Luck, I have Rashard Jennings on my team. If he has a career day along with Andrew Luck, hard work and dedication won't make a difference. I like Green Bay to win the game, but I like a few other things in my fantasy. So.
I got to ask a question now. I got to ask a question.
Go ahead, right ahead.
Are you just predicating all this stuff on the fact that you want to destroy rookies? Or is this professional, you know, actual advice for everybody?
No. Wait a minute. Listen to what I said. When I talked about Andrew Luck, that's professional and has to do with fantasy because the fact is Andrew Luck is going up against one of the worst pass defenses in the league in Tennessee. So regardless of his home or away, I think Andrew Luck should have a good day. Rashard Jennings, I think, can run on the Green Bay Packers, but I think the Green Bay Packers will win the game. I'm hoping Rashard Jennings, and I said hope. I'm not saying he's going to. I said I hope he has a career day. I'm not saying he will have a career day. And hope means I'm talking about fantasy. I'm not on my fantasy team. I'm not talking about he will have a career day against Green Bay because I don't think he will because Green Bay is middle of the road against the run. So Green Bay is not a pushover against the run. So Rashard Jennings, this is his real first game of getting the start since the beginning of the season, and I'm just hoping he does well. That's all. Hoping he does well. Because the fact is, yes, I want to shut up hard work and dedication.
I'm not going to hate on you. I'm not going to hate. Let's move to the next game.
Okay.
All right. And by the way, Black, you need to put that on the front page. Game of the week.
Game of the
hard
week.
Hard work.
Yes.
You need somebody with a hard hat or something going against
a son versus
a citizen.
Dad.
Oh, you know what? You ain't right. You guys are not right.
Hey, I'm on your side, though, Jerry. I'm on your side. Here we go. Here we go. Pittsburgh, where, you know, I love my team. I love my team. But I'm going to pick them to lose this game.
What?
I'm picking them to lose this game. The reason why I'm going to pick the Skins to lose this game is because London Fletcher might not play. If London Fletcher does not play in this game, I like Lorenzo Alexander. I even like the other guy that plays middle linebacker. But they don't have the instincts like London does. They just don't. And if Jonathan Dwyer decides he's going to run the ball, we're pretty good against the run. But we're bad against the pass. And as Black said, Ben is never going to pass a touchdown against us, but he's beaten us. And this is going to be at home this time, on Heinz Field.
Wow.
Now, I know this is the first time that RG3 is going to see a 3-4 in a game, but he practices against a 3-4 every day. So it's going to be
correct yourself. He practices against the Redskins 3-4 every day.
But a form of the 3-4 defense. It doesn't matter.
A form of which Pittsburgh does not play.
Okay. All right. Well, Ryan Clark, former Redskin, is going to play. The one saving grace is that Troy Polamalu, who is, and I can't remember who said it, but he will be the best person to put in to shadow RG3. Because Woodley, no. All those slow, older linebackers, they're not going to be able to catch RG3 if he cuts that corner. And if they run that read option the way they're supposed to run it. Now, the word is they're going to wear uniforms back in Jerry's day, 1939 uniforms.
Okay.
So they're going to be looking like jail, like bumblebees, black and gold of stripes. I mean, like striped top jerseys and all gold pants.
I hear you.
And the Skins are going to go to their throwback, you know, jerseys or whatever. But I want my Skins to win. I really do. Chris Cooley's back, but I don't think he's going to be a big factor in this game. So, I'm going to pick Pittsburgh. Hopefully I'm wrong, but I'm picking Pittsburgh to win this game. I look for Alfred Morris to continue. He might get 70 to 100 yards. Santana,
you know, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
The master plan. I know. Go ahead, Black.
Oh, no, let Jerry continue.
Okay. If for those who don't know about London Fletcher, he practiced in full on Friday. So he's listed as questionable.
He's still having balance issues.
Exactly. You can't have a balance issue playing. But go ahead.
We'll see what happens. I'm hoping London Fletcher plays. I don't think I have. I don't know. In this game, you know what? If, believe it or not, your quarterback plays better on the road than he does at home.
I know. He plays
better on the road than he does at home. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. This defense, I don't care who, Dick LeBeau, this defense, just like Baltimore's, is older and slower. And it's not the same defense. It's only in name only, these two defenses, Baltimore and Pittsburgh. That's why one of the reasons why Ben Roethlisberger is having such a good year, because he has to throw more to score more points, because his defense ain't what it used to be. I like the Washington Redskins in this game. It's going to be a close game, but I think the deciding factor is going to be RG3. I think they can throw on this team. I definitely think they can run on this team. So, meaning the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think they can run on this team. I know that the Pittsburgh can pass on Washington. Washington has a better run defense than Pittsburgh. So this may be a shootout, and people don't realize it. So, but I do like Washington in this game.
All right.
Let's break down the particulars. Washington has given up 300 yards passing in every game this season except the Minnesota game, which Christian Ponder went for 299 yards. So look for Ben Roethlisberger to have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
On the Redskins side, RG3 is the truth. Me and Jerry have been stating this since the Baylor days. We told guys about him. He's definitely the truth. Wonderful pickup for Washington. I think RG3 goes off in this game.
Mm-hmm.
People know my disdain for the Redskins, and people also know my disdain for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I am picking the lesser of two evils. I'm going with the Washington Redskins.
Oh my God! Wait a minute. I'm getting vertigo now. I'm losing my balance here. Oh my God!
let me send you to London Fletcher's house. Because I definitely like how this game is shaping up for the Washington Redskins.
I can't believe a Dallas fan and a Houston Texans fan took your team and you went and took Pittsburgh. I can't believe that.
Look.
I cannot believe that.
Law of averages.
Oh, God. Fair weather fan, Black.
What?
A fair weather fan. Unbelievable. I cannot believe you took Pittsburgh in this game. Oh.
Well, maybe it's reverse psychology.
Yeah, no,
maybe
don't even go there. Don't even go there.
Maybe it's going to work. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
Have a better house. All right. So let's move on to the next game. We've already covered the Eagles and Falcons. Let's talk about – now, this is an interesting game because I think it's the game where you're going to decide whether Russell Wilson is going to be your starting quarterback for the future, or you're going to throw Matt Flynn in there. Seattle goes to Detroit, and I've been trying to tell Matt time and time again, you know, he's saying, I don't know football, I don't know Detroit, da-da-da-da-da. If Detroit can get a weapon, and you agree with me on this, Black, on the message board, if Detroit can get a second weapon to help out Megatron and to help out
they can come out of the Stone Age and put a fullback on the roster, then you can play some football.
Yeah.
Michael Ashore is not bad, but he needs running lanes. They just don't have them.
Well, the thing about it, if you notice the teams that have the decent running game, they have a fullback. A lead fullback. Am I right about that, Black?
You're not correct.
I didn't say you easy.
Oh, man, I can't. These teams, I don't understand it. They want to, it's a passing man league, but if you want to run the ball, you got to have a fullback to block. It's the basic thing. All these Arian Foster, these other guys that have a lead fullback, that's a decent lead fullback, have good running games. You got to have somebody in the backfield doing that for you.
I mean, I got you. I mean, but what do we got in this game? Seattle goes Detroit. I think Detroit comes out winning, and they come out winning big.
I'm not buying that. I'm going to Seattle on the road. Those corners, if you think Detroit has been struggling, all the corners they've seen, and then you put Seattle's corners in Detroit, I like Seattle's chances here. I'm taking Seattle.
You know, there's times when I've gone and said that Seattle.
Madden curse.
Excuse me?
Madden curse.
You can talk about that. But I've always said this about these two teams, Jacksonville and Seattle. But Seattle has stepped up the defense, especially their corners. They're big and strong, and they get away with a lot. The way that Detroit's struggling, especially Matthew Stafford, I don't know. He reverted back to his rookie year. I don't know what the hell's going on with that.
Nobody to help.
He needs a fullback. They're good at picking up blitzes too, Jerry.
Yeah. You're exactly right about that. But there's something fundamentally wrong in the scheme or whatever going on with Detroit, and it's amazing that they haven't fixed it. And you see it week after week, the same dysfunctional play of the Detroit Lions.
Well, I know a couple of Detroit Lions fans personally, and they tell me that their offensive coordinator stinks, and they want him out.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm alluding to, because it seems like there's no creativity, and they're stuck in whatever mode that they are in, and it's stifling the talent, because they have talent on that team on the offensive side to score points. Obviously, they've done it in the past. For some reason, they're not doing it this year. Other teams have caught up to it, and the offensive coordinator hasn't made enough adjustments to offset those defensive adjustments. This is a tough game to pick, man, because Seattle's offense is very limited, and because of the quarterback, you know, he's got inconsistent play because he's a rookie, and Detroit's offense is dysfunctional with the quarterback. You know what? I'm going to go against my better judgment. I usually don't pick Seattle on the road, but I like the way that the defense has been playing, and I do really like the way that those two corners have been playing against this pass-happy offense, and they have a strong defensive presence against the run, meaning Seattle. I don't think Detroit's going to be able to run, and I think they're going to have trouble passing the ball. So I'm going to go with Seattle.
All right. Well, I mean, I think they have a good chance. They're in the dome. I think if they let Russell Wilson throw the ball, Seattle will be a better team, but I don't know. Let's move on to Chicago, where Cam Newton wishes and hopes that his issues are fixed now that he got the GM fired. Talk to me, fellas. Go ahead, Black.
you said what now?
I said the Panthers and the Bears.
Oh.
Now that Cam Newton got the GM fired, is everything fixed? Who's going to win?
Give me the Bears. Give me the Chicago Bears.
All right. God, unbelievable, this game. One thing I do know is, I don't know if somebody finally shook Rivera and his offensive team, offensive coordinator up, and told them to wake up. But they're finally going to see if they can have one of these backs be the lead back versus flipping them back and forth from one play to the next, playing musical running backs. Jonathan Stewart's supposed to get the start first to see if he can be the lead dog. I think they're going to use a fullback because they're going to revert to a power running game. So I think they're going to use a fullback, which should benefit Jonathan Stewart. Unfortunately, it's against the Chicago Bears, one of the best run defenses, if not the best run defense in the league.
Until they revert back to that pro-style offense and leave that pistol foolishness alone, in which Cam thrived. I mean, I don't see why you would change the offense when the guy put up 5,000 yards. Just beyond me. But until they get back to that, I can't pick Carolina in any game.
Well, I understand that. They're going to a power running game, meaning they're going to take the ball out of Cam Newton's hands and give it to Jonathan Stewart more to establish the running game to set up the passing game. So, which makes sense to me. You got real good running backs, and you've been playing musical chairs. You have in and out. You can't get a running back to have any kind of rhythm because once they get in for one play, they're out and the other running back comes in. That makes no sense.
Both of them tons of money.
Yes, exactly. So supposedly D'Angelo Williams may be on the block because quite naturally they want to use one of these running backs, and Jonathan Stewart's first up to see if he can get it going. Like I said, unfortunately, it's against Chicago. Hopefully he'll get another chance past Chicago, another fair chance. Then otherwise, if he doesn't show good, then D'Angelo Williams will be the next game as the lead dog. So, but I like Chicago quite naturally in this game. I don't think it's a no-brainer to me that Chicago's going to win this game.
Same here. I think it's going to be closer than people think because Cam Newton's going to be able to create. Let's go to a game that is a very important.
Create what?
Yeah, he ain't going to do that. He won't be able to do anything.
I think he'll create opportunities. Will they cash in on him? I don't know.
Create chaos. That's about it. Create chaos.
We'll see. We'll see.
Create new pouncing faces.
Yeah.
Sweetheart. I don't know, sweetheart. That's so funny. All right. Let's move on to a game of interest for me in more ways than one. We got the Raiders going to the Kansas City Chiefs. Brady Quinn gets the start. So does this mean that they're going to run the ball 35 times, or they're going to actually try to throw the ball, knowing Brady isn't that good? The Raiders are coming in off of a bye week, and Run DMC's hungry. Run DMC so far has been a disappointment to many, many fantasy football players, including myself. I think the Chiefs have a very good shot at winning this game because it's an Arrowhead and it's at the end of October, and it's kind of cold there, and magical things happen there. Magical things just happen in Arrowhead State. But I'm going to pick the Raiders. I'm going to pick the Raiders off the strength of Carson Palmer having back-to-back 300-yard-plus games, but just coming up short in those games. I think they'll win this game on Carson Palmer's arm and the lack thereof from Brady Quinn. Take it away, Black.
Oh, man, this is my man's birthday today. Let me give him a big shout-out, Brady Quinn. For your birthday, I'm hoping you get the win, man. I'm sick of what I've seen from the Raiders this year. Nothing but disappointment. I have Run DMC in a couple of leagues. Nothing but disappointment. So I'll rival Brady Quinn in this one.
All right.
Peyton Hillis is healthy. Jamal Charles is the league back. They're going to run this ball about 50 times, if not more. Trust me, they're going to run this ball. Brady Quinn is just going to be a guy handing the ball off every now and then, maybe throwing it to Dwayne Bowe, whoever is in the receiving corps. Another home team coming off a bye, going against a division rival. Division rival has been playing horribly and is not that good against the run or the pass. Both these teams are bad. I have to go with the home team. I have to go with Kansas City. I don't expect too much from Brady Quinn. I think the main focus on both these teams are the running backs. So you see the running backs featured on both sides for the most part.
All right. Let's go to Denver. We're going to call this the 800-plus. 300 total passing yards. That's what I'm going at. I think, honestly, Drew Brees and the Saints are going to give it a very, 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 very good try. I'm going to pick the Saints because this is a coin flip game to me. I know it's in Mile High Stadium, but I'm just going to say this is a coin flip game, honestly. But I'm just going to give it to the Saints. Go ahead, Black.
I'm going with the brain known as Peyton Manning.
Yep. Same here. I see this game as 800. Hey, we may even get to 1,000 yards passing in this game. That's how crazy I see this happening. I see both these teams throwing up a bit. You tune in tomorrow, and you'll hear my in-depth analysis of this game. But I do like Denver Broncos. One thing I can tell you is this. The New Orleans Saints don't score as much, and their offense isn't as prolific enough as much on the road. So that's why I like Denver in this game.
All right. Well, let's go to the last game of the weekend, or the week, which is San Fran going to AZ. So who wins this game, San Fran? Keep it moving. Go ahead, Jay.
I'm going to take Arizona in this one.
Okay. Can you explain, please?
I'm calling for Kaepernick to play. So as long as I continue to see Alex Smith, I won't pick the 49ers. That's my thought process.
Oh, okay. San Fran, this game is going to be closer than a lot of people think. They're playing in Arizona, right?
Yes, sir.
Defense is going to step up in Arizona, especially with a division rival. I know Arizona has trouble with their quarterback, and their offensive line. But I think that because it's a division rival and they're playing at home, I think Arizona's going to give up a stiff fight. It's tough for me to pick against San Francisco because of the weapons that San Francisco has. I can't do it. So I have to go with San Francisco, but I think this game's going to be a lot closer.
Come on,
than people think.
Join me.
Okay, Black, you convinced me. You've convinced me. I'll go to Arizona. How's that? I'll go to Tempe, Arizona, wherever they play at. I'll go to Arizona.
Are you changing your pick?
I'm changing my pick. Black convinced me. He didn't have to twist my arm that too hard. I'm going to Arizona.
You just said, come on, and you went like an old girl. Okay.
Hey, come on, man. Come on, man. What's up with that?
Nothing.
Oh, man. I'm getting abused here, boy. I tell you. Getting abused. But that's okay. Beast mode will be in effect by the end of this weekend.
Well, I'm on your side.
Yeah.
Okay. I am. Honestly, I am. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of our pick segment. Fantasy wise, tune in tomorrow to the Master Plan. JT's going to give you a lot of great information. He's not going to tell you who he hopes has a good game so he can win. He's going to tell you who's going to have a good game so you can win.
Exactly.
So check him out. His fees are non-negotiable. They're free for now, and then I'm going to trademark them. But if you want some good advice, tune into the master. I'm telling you, if you do what he says, 9 times out of 10, you'll win. Anything you want to say before we go off the air, Black?
Yeah, wishing my man Bautista and the whole SFP boxing. Whole SFP boxing, a great night tonight. Let's go, Kareem, hard-hitter Mayfield. Let's get that win. As your man just said last night, we're going to go in there and destroy that ass, so I'm expecting to see a good show tonight.
All right. Jerry.
The only thing I have to say is from Black and myself and also quite naturally your host, Mr. Vic Gardner. You've been listening to...
I wasn't even ready for that. But okay. I mean, you're going to have to set that up again because you got something in your mouth. You did your... All I have to say is, mwah, for blah, mwah, 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 mwah. You gotta say that again. I wasn't even ready for it, but go ahead.
I was waiting. I'm trying to get out of here, man. I want to get you off the air.
Oh, really? It's like that. Eat your collard bread and corn, and, your collard greens and cornbread. Come on.
Anyway, like I said, from Black and myself and the host Vic Gardner, you've been listening to.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to
rumble! You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports.